streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to The Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go, our number 2, Clippers-Jazz tonight. Good games last night, live in Los Angeles. It's The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We're on iHeartRadio as always, Fox Sports Radio as always, and FS1 as usual, Monday through Friday. And Joy Taylor is joining me. Aaron Rodgers, no-show minicamp. Eye roll for me, doesn't matter. Green Bay, don't find him. Who cares? Brady didn't have any camps. Preseason, won the Super Bowl. Aaron's the MVP. You got a bunch of developmental guys you're drafting. Let them practice. Joy, how are you?
What does it say about me that I kind of hope that the Packers do find him?
You want him to... Well, it makes for a better story.
Well,
chaos.
Some people just like to watch the world burn.
Listen, it's we like to be... You know, we don't want anybody to get hurt, but we like to be a little bit of a semi-car wreck. We want you to slow down and stop and peek over and watch us.
Listen, it's completely unreasonable in every measurable way for the Packers to fine Aaron Rodgers, who just won an MVP, for not coming to minicamp.
It'd be petty. And
however.
It would make a great story. Be a good lead for tomorrow.
I would enjoy watching, seeing the world crumble.
So I see a couple years ago, it was a few years ago, I think, Joy, you were on the show at that time. 60 Minutes did a piece on Giannis, face of the league. And I was like, timeout. Dude can't shoot. Come on. You got to be. It was a shooter's league. 5 years ago, I'm like, he's a great player, but come on. Let's stop on all the MVP face of the league nonsense. So once again, he is becoming a great regular season player, but when you can play him night after night after night after night and after night, that's a true test. I mean, you can play Kevin Durant 8 nights in a row. You can't stop him. You play Giannis over the course of 2 weeks, 6-7 games, there's ways to defend him. That's the gap between Giannis and KD. Look in the playoffs so far at Giannis' shooting. Folks, he's a liability with the ball in his hands. He's shooting 50% from the free throw line, 53%, 12% on three-pointers, 33% mid-range. This year, outside of 3 feet, he shot 33%. So Mike Budenholzer said something else last night after the loss. Here's the Bucks coach.
We didn't play very well overall. First quarter, the whole game. So I think we got to play better from start to end. We need Giannis to be aggressive. He needs space to operate and work. It's something we've been doing all year. We got to, just work on it, make the spacing a little better for him, for Drew, for Chris.
I'm not a big fan of having my star needing to be told, be more aggressive. Nobody's telling LeBron, be more aggressive, or Dame, be more aggressive. So I never bought into Giannis' face of the league MVP stuff. It is what it is. You know, it's a stat award. And he's a new star player. I don't pay attention to the MVP. Chris Paul would have gotten my vote this year. Steph, I thought, was very valuable. But not only do I not think Giannis is the MVP of the league, I'm going to take out half the teams that didn't make the playoffs. I'm going to take out all the teams that have been in the playoffs and are gone already, like Dallas, Portland, Washington. Of the remaining, just the remaining players left this morning, that's all we're going to count. I don't have Giannis in my top 10 most valuable. I'll give you my list. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Number one.
Kevin Durant. 32 a game, 55% shooting. He is unstoppable. He is the greatest 6'11 and a half, 7 foot offensive player that's not back to the basket. I mean, he's Dirk Nowitzki, but significantly better. He's the best player left. He's the most valuable player. Let's be honest. He gets hurt, they're not winning the championship. James Harden is missing, and they're blowing the Bucks out. So when it comes to postseason, I like Harden, but Harden has never been a great postseason player. KD, unlike Harden, does not need the whistle. He needs a ball and a hoop. He's the MVP right now in the playoffs.
Number two.
Kawhi Leonard, mid-range game, doesn't have the three-point ability of KD, but he's a better defender than KD. And KD plays defense. Give KD credit. He'll play defense. But Kawhi doesn't have the offensive range of KD, but he's a better defensive player. And we saw what he did to Luka at the end of that series, so Kawhi too.
Number three.
Okay, Chris Paul. I'm sorry. Phoenix had the worst record in the NBA the previous 5 years. You take him off this roster, it's a bunch of kids. They're not playing anymore. I think he's the most underrated player in the NBA. Not point guard. The most underrated player in the NBA in 20 years. I mean, Stockton got love. Magic got love. Isaiah got love. Steph gets love. Find me a point guard. He's like a quarterback in the NFL that's a Hall of Famer that doesn't even get nominated this year for an MVP vote. I mean, give me a break. By the way, second best record in the NBA. For 11 years, they didn't make the playoffs and just blew by the Lakers.
Number four.
James Harden. Now, I like Harden, but he's not playing right now, so I'll put him at four. The other thing I'll say, we know James can score. He's a little dependent on the whistle, so that's why I think KD in the playoffs is more valuable than Harden is. Harden was more valuable in the regular season than KD was. Also, Harden this year has really been impressive. His distribution numbers are through the roof. So James Harden has done something I really appreciate. He sensed the room, smart enough to see, hey, they don't need all my scoring. What they need is my distribution here too, and he's done it. So Harden, I have it four.
Number five.
Not Kyrie, Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell is the only active player to average 20 points a game in the playoffs each of the first 4 years in the NBA. So he was good when he came into the league. But he's also a very willing defender. He is also the team leader. So they don't have a second scorer on this team that can give you 25 a night guaranteed. He's incredibly important to this team. He'll lock you up defensively. He's got leadership skills. He's good late in games. And he's a great offensive player.
Number six.
Now, Kyrie's a greater offensive player, but Kyrie emotionally sometimes doesn't show up, and defensively, he's a liability. The one thing I'll say about Kyrie, we all know he's a great finisher. The dude does not turn the ball over. Go look at the last five games. To handle the ball as much as Kyrie and never turn it over tells you how much control and skill he has offensively. But he is. You can attack him defensively. You can't Donovan Mitchell at all.
Number seven.
The Joker out of Denver. Listen, he's the only player in the postseason giving you 30 and 10. So he's a point center. He's the best passing big man in the NBA. You have to go back to Bill Walton or Arvydas Sabonis. He's incredibly valuable. He's okay on the defensive end. He's not great. He's okay. He's got a they don't have any of their guards. So they got three guards not available. So it's now really leaning on him. And there are limitations. He never looks in good shape. I know he's a pro athlete. He is. But I he looks worn down a little bit last night late.
Number eight.
Trae Young. Folks, what do you want to say? The kid is not only carrying a team. Who's the third best player for the Hawks? Seriously, we're in the playoffs. You can name the third best player for every team left. Who's the third best player for the Hawks? And he's a great road player. So he's a showman. Most young players shrink on the road in the playoffs. Not Trae Young. He's better on the road in the playoffs. I mean, that is a testament to his confidence and his skill.
Number nine.
Devin Booker. Again, you'd say Devin's better than Trae, but Devin Booker could not carry his franchise to the second round of the playoffs without Chris Paul. Devin's a great player. Now, the West is tougher than the East. He's a tremendous offensive player. He'll body up defensively. Not a great defensive player, but he's got pride. He'll play some defense. He also had 47 points in the closeout game against the Lakers. I love that. It was a stand-up moment. Step on the throat of the Lakers. He did 47 points, so he is number nine.
Number 10.
Joel Embiid. Say what you want. He's the closest thing we have to Shaq. Torn meniscus. He gets docked a little bit because he played great and couldn't beat Trae Young. That's why I put Trae Young ahead of him. Trae Young played great. Embiid played great. Embiid's got better teammates. Trae Young won. That's why he's ahead of him. Now, where's Giannis on this? Where do you want me to put Giannis? And I'm not anti-Giannis, but where do you want me to put him in terms of value? Late in games, none of these players, late in games, I feel are a liability. Giannis is, with 4 minutes to go. And by the way, I like Giannis, but it's become an offensive league. And this basketball is now, as great as Michael Jordan was, he didn't have to compete against a lot of European players. You're bringing dudes in like Luka at 22. I mean, this game now it's the world's game, and I'm here for it. Bonzi Wells, I covered for years, 10-year NBA vet, the pride of Ball State, a first-round pick, now has a podcast with Rasheed Wallace, who I also covered. It is called Let's Get Technical, which is the most brilliantly true podcast name in the history of the industry, and Bonzi Wells is now joining us live. First of all, Bonzi, good to see you again. Yeah. Congratulations on your success, and thanks for joining us.
And thanks for having me, my brother. I really appreciate everything.
So we were talking about this earlier today, Bonzi, that you played in a different generation where if you were bad defensively as a team, you just couldn't get you just couldn't get past the second round of the playoffs. It was the reality of it. I watch Brooklyn. They're 23rd in defense. They don't have a rim protector. They got a rookie head coach. They barely play together. Harden's hurt. And they're rolling over Milwaukee. And my takeaway is, Bonzi, you take out the hand check. It's now a global game. The skill level is so insane in this sport. And that Bonzi, what I'm saying is you don't have to do everything right if you have this much offensive skill. Or do you look at Brooklyn and think they will eventually meet their match because of a lack of chemistry and defense?
Well, I think Brooklyn is a well-oiled machine right now. I mean, you can't. A great offense beats a good defense any day. And Brooklyn is playing at a high, unbelievable level. KD is playing. I mean, he's scoring effortless out there. And you have Kyrie Irving that's just playing a great wingman right now. I mean, he's scoring in spurts when you need him to. He's handling the ball great. He's not turning the ball over. He's making the correct play. And hats off to a guy like Blake Griffin. I mean, I'm so proud of him just being that third guy that they need right now without James Harden being in, able to play. His energy has resurfaced. It's got the team just playing at a high level. And it's just a really good thing to see right now.
Yeah, it really is interesting. Barkley talked about it last night that you need a certain self-awareness when you're past your prime, but Blake can obviously still deliver. And, it's – you see this in the NBA now. The money's so good, Blake Griffin's like, hey, I can still get a check. I want to go play.
Sure.
When I watch Brooklyn, the message it sends to a player like Damian Lillard to me is, dude, you got to upgrade to better players. Like, when you watch Brooklyn play, don't you think the message to NBA players is, for star players is, what are you doing wasting your time? Go connect with stars.
I mean, definitely it says that. I mean, you got to take a page out of them old Miami Heat's playbook when Bron and D. Wade and Chris Bosh did it. I mean, they won championships, and that's kind of what the guys are doing. I mean, we love the fact that guys like Damon Lillard are trying to stay true to the city and the organization they're with. But, you know, yet and still he can go out there and have 100 points and they're still not making it out the first or second round. So it makes it tough. So the blueprint is now is to team up with the great players. Let's win championships. Let's create our legacy. And that's just kind of the blueprint for now, nowadays for the new NBA players.
How do you describe Chris Paul? He doesn't dunk. He doesn't shoot a lot of threes. You know, it's not going to fill up the stat box. But God, Phoenix was a mess for 11 years. How do you describe him? Who do you compare him to? What is it about his game you like?
You know, it's crazy. I just got crucified on somebody's pod about 3 weeks ago about telling them that Chris Paul deserves to be on somebody's Mount Rushmore point guards. I don't care about winning championships. I'm just looking at his numbers and the way he competes. And every situation he's went through, from New Orleans to where he is now, he's made that team better. The win percentage is better. He's made guys who probably wasn't even playing their best better. I mean, I played with him for 2 or 3 months at the end of my career, and I came home telling all my friends and family that Chris Paul is probably one of the best point guards I've ever seen in my own eyes. So Chris Paul deserves more credit. He deserves more everything because he's leading this team in a way, and he's put confidence in the Phoenix Suns that we never saw. Like you said, the last 11 years has been a struggle, and Chris Paul has instilled a certain type of confidence in this team, and they're going to be tough to beat.
You know, it's interesting, Bonzi. There are players who are great regular season players, and then they get to the postseason. And in the postseason, I play you 7 times. So none of your tricks work. I got all the film on you. And I watch Giannis, and part of me thinks, okay, he flies into town. You don't have a lot of time to prep. He's just a great athlete, and he drops 32. But when I get to play him 6, 7 times, he can't shoot. And were there guys in your career that were maybe easier to defend in the playoffs than they were in the regular season?
I mean, definitely. I mean, we always broke. I know I broke guys down as shooters and shotters. You have guys that are really shooters, Steph Curry, those type of guys that shooters. You can't let them get their hands above their shoulders. And you got guys like myself who are considered shotters. If I get hot and get to rolling, yeah, I hit, you know, a certain amount in the road, but, you know, I got to get rolling. I got to get my things going. And that's what Giannis is really going through. I mean, Giannis, whoever his man's is that he hang with in the summertime, go hook on my guy out in Cali, lethal shooter. He'll get your jumper together, and then all these defenses won't be able to just back up off you and quadruple dare you to shoot a jump shot that you really don't want to shoot. That's going to make him unstoppable. Until he adds a jump shot to his game, he will be stopped, and he's not going to be able to take this Milwaukee team to the next level because he's easy to guard in terms of giving him a cushion. Let's pack the paint and hopefully he shoots a shot outside the lane and we'll take the results.
Yeah, no, it's a little bit of Westbrook. He's obviously a different athlete, but Westbrook became a player where if you played him in the playoffs, there was a way to play him. Just let him shoot threes. Giannis, let him shoot from distance. You know, Kawhi Leonard is interesting.
Yeah, very.
He's not real verbal, Bonzi. He's not a guy that's going to bark in the huddle. He's not overly communicative. He's an unbelievable – he's got a little Jordan, the way he defends, his body type, his hand size. Can you be – it's weird. Can you be a leader and not a talker? I mean, he doesn't talk at all. He's nonverbal. Or do you just have to say, Kawhi is going to be – we need a point guard to run the show – and like in the NFL, he's not our quarterback. He'll be the best running back or receiver. What do you make of kind of his personality and how you build around it?
Well, Kawhi is what we call an action dude. He don't do a lot of rapping. He ain't doing no lip wrestling. He's not talking about it. He's going to get the job done. And that's the type of guy that you want on your team. I mean, if I need to play the point tonight, I'm going to play the point. If I need to post him, he'll do anything for the team to win. And that's rare in this league. I mean, a lot of guys kind of put themselves in a kind of a bubble on what they can and can't do. And Kawhi don't talk about it. He goes and gets it done. And I was just so impressed with him in Game 7 when he stepped up and took the challenge on both ends of the court. You know, they needed points. He scored. They needed stops against Luka, who was playing at an unbelievable level. He got stops against him. So, you know, he's just what I call an action guy, and that's what you need. And some people like him don't talk. They just show. So that's perfect for his personality.
So when you played in Portland, they went out and got Scottie Pippen. But generally, for some reason, Dallas does not attract free agents. I don't know why. Great city, no state tax, good owner. Portland, similarly, is not. Maybe it's the geography, the wet weather. You're kind of hidden in the Northwest. They don't get free agents. And my takeaway on Dame is, okay, he's a top 5 offensive guard ever. I mean, he's insane. you were in Portland. The team you were on was actually insanely talented. You, she, Damon, Steve Smith, Sabonis. It was the most talented team 1 through 8 ever. But I look at Portland now and I look at Dame and I think, he'd been there like 8 years, Bonzi. They can't get him a 2. If you were Dame's agent, what would you tell him to do?
And it's tough, you know, and it'll be a tough tell to him, but it's, I think Dame has maximized himself in Portland, and I think it's time for him to go. I mean, unless Portland, I mean, they tried everything they can to bring in free agents, and I played in Portland. It's just a small market, and it's really tough to get people up there. There's no disrespect to the Portland organization or any or the fans or anybody, but it's just tough to get people, real superstars, to really come up there. So yeah. I think Dame, you know, the type of star that Dame is, I think he's maximized the city of Portland himself. I mean, Dame has so much stuff on the horizon for his future, the type of person he is on and off the court. And I just think a big market would be great for him to be able to maximize himself. So if I was his agent, I mean, I would be positioning ourselves to make a move.
Bonzi Wells, he's got a new podcast, Let's Get Technical with Sheed. By the way, Sheed is one of the funniest players.
Yeah.
One of the funniest players I've ever covered. And by the way, people don't understand. We saw him every night. I always said he wasn't as driven as Garnett or Duncan, one of the great defensive forwards of all time. You miss playing with Sheed?
I do, man. Sheed's probably, you know, other than being big bro, man, he's a good friend, man. He was one of the best teammates I ever had. And it's funny when you talk, when people talk about his career, he's the same as Chris Paul to me. She could average 30 in this league if he really wanted to, but he was just such an unselfish guy. He understands everybody on his teammates, all his teammates, what they're going through. So he's like, hey, I don't need to average 30. He's like, Bonds, why don't you average 15? I'll average 16, Pip 14, Dame 13. Let's all play well together so we don't have to rely on one guy. And I've always respected that about him, just having a teammate type mindset and not just trying to be like the whole stars like we all should shine. And that's why I just love the fact that we came full circle from Portland when we first met, and now we're doing a podcast together. And it's just cool to just see him talking, to see him work, and just to see everybody showing him love.
By the way, you're a Colts fan. So are we. I love to see that.
You see it?
Yep.
You see it?
I love my Colts too, my man. Bonzi.
What? Come on now. I didn't know that.
Hey, appreciate you stopping by the show, Bonzi.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. Blessings to you. Hey, Joy.
You bet. All right. Boy, those Blazer teams I covered. So I covered that Blazer-Laker series where Shaq had the iconic dunk from Kobe. I was sitting in the media area behind. The talent in that series, I've told this story before. Portland had more good players. They just didn't have Kobe and Shaq. But Portland was stacked. And I remember asking Phil Jackson, I was in the underneath the basket, and it was before game 6 or something, game 5 or 6, and Phil Jackson was there, and I was, you know, a young reporter. And I said, you know, you're struggling with Rasheed Wallace. What is your game plan on Rasheed Wallace to stop him? And Phil Jackson just looked at me and went, you don't stop Rasheed Wallace. Rasheed will score as many as Rasheed wants to. I'm just going to try to stop everybody else, but we don't. And by the way, I think the Lakers may have had Horace Grant. They're like, we don't really have a player that can stop Rasheed
Wallace.
Maybe
that's why Phil doesn't like you.
Yeah, Phil met my wife in a doctor's office. My wife doesn't know sports. And she's like, I think he is famous. And my wife grew up in Chicago, so she watched the Bulls team. And she was like, I think he's famous. And my wife is struggling with her back and Phil. And she said, they started talking, and my wife's just a talker, and Phil Jackson. And Ann says, yeah, my husband probably knows you. You're in sports. He's in sports. And then he goes, well, who's your husband? And she says, oh, Colin Cowherd. And Phil grimaces and says, tell him he's wrong on LeBron. I want to tell you, by the way, nobody was better than Phil Jackson in The Last Dance.
I missed The Last Dance. I need to watch that again.
Oh, I have. I've watched a lot of the episodes. Phil Jackson was so reasonable. Like, that was a circus.
He's a Zen master.
He really was. Phil, come on the show. I don't know why Phil doesn't like me. I don't understand that. I'm like pro Phil.
It's such a great story.
Now we got to take a break.
Yeah.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner. Homie.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good things come to those who wait at Jersey Mike's. They also come to those who don't. Download the app, order ahead, skip the line. Now through June 20th, use the code THEHERD for $1 off your order. I go back to those Portland days when I covered, they called them, the Oregonian newspaper dubbed them the Jailblazers because they had a lot of different things going on. But I will say this, they weren't the greatest team to interview. Like, a lot of the guys were sullen and didn't want to talk. And, you know, I just came to terms with that. But in terms of, I covered a winning franchise. Like, when you cover a team and they win, fans are engaged, they watch your local news. So I, with the time when I was there, Portland was always interesting. And they were always good. Oregon football was good. The Blazers were good. So it was, I didn't have a, Oregon State was even, Dennis Erickson was even good. So
it's
I got
such
this
a better local life when the team is winning.
Oh yeah. There's, I mean, the reality is when you're in a local sportscaster and the teams stink, it's no fun. Like, you want eyeballs, and it's also, who wants to go to games and report a team getting blasted by 20? Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
So the Bucks are in a 2-0 hole against the Nets as the series moves to Milwaukee.
Is that going to matter?
Well, I don't want to overreact because the Nets are supposed to win those games, right? So there's not really a need to panic. In general, you're supposed to win your home games in the series.
I know, but you're not supposed to get blown out twice when James Harden can't even play?
That part. But Giannis is still confident that his team can bounce back. He said, I don't get too high, I don't get too low. After the Miami series, we were up 4-0, and coming to this series, I wasn't high. Now that we're down 2-0, I'm not low. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing, keep trusting my work, keep trusting my teammates, keep believing in them, keep believing in the habits we've built all year, and hopefully in game three, we get a win. To your point, the Nets beat the Bucks 125-86 game two without James Harden.
Does everybody understand? That is like, that game at one point was like 39 points.
It's dramatic. It's dramatic. I mean, Giannis had 18 points. That's not going to do it. Chris Middleton, 17.
You know, I was thinking about this, Joy. What happens a lot in sports? Like, there are certain markets like Miami in basketball or L.A. with the Rams in football or Dallas. There are markets that are very good free agent markets where players, when players have a choice, they pick the markets. Then you get into these situations, and Milwaukee's one of them. The Packers are. But let's just stay with Milwaukee, that you don't get a lot of free agents. So you tend to, it's very easy. Buffalo did this for years until they got a good GM and a coach. You overspend on players thinking that's the best we can do. They paid a fortune for Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton's a four. I mean, he looks so irrelevant in this series with great talent. But again, they were trapped. They wanted to make sure Giannis thought we're going to keep him, so we're going to pay for it. If Chris Middleton goes to the market, the LA teams aren't going to go after him. So they're kind of trapped now because Giannis you have to pay for because he's a legit star. They paid a huge number for Middleton, and I think a lot of that is that sort of that low self-esteem thing. There are these smaller markets that feel like nobody loves us, and so they overpay for good players and pay them great money. And I think they're kind of trapped with it. They're kind of trapped with Middleton's contract.
They might be, but I also don't want to put this on Middleton. Giannis has to score more than 18 points.
No, I get that.
Like my issue with the Bucks is, and I don't want to overreact. Again, this is very early in the series, although they have looked terrible. You can't lose like that with James Harden in a crispy Prada shirt on the sideline. Like you got to do better than that. You got to give him a fight. They're not a postseason team. Like, right. They've done absolutely nothing to prove that I should be freaking out about them in the postseason.
Well, you know, think about this, Joy. We know with automobiles, some automobiles, like convertibles, they're good summer fall cars.
Yeah.
But you can't have a convertible in 99% of America in the winter. It's the same thing. Some things in your life serve you for just certain parts of the year. Giannis is a great regular season player. But when I get to play him six times, I can marginalize his game. This is Westbrook. Shoot. But if Westbrook comes into town, your team is tired, you don't watch a ton of film, and Westbrook is, who by the way, apparently is never tired. Westbrook drops 34, a triple-double, and you're like exhausted. But if I get to play Westbrook seven times, I can build a game plan that I think Milwaukee and Giannis have just become the classic great regular season team.
And there's nothing wrong with that. There's value in that in the sport. I don't like to be over-pitched things. Like, I can see what I can see. It's just like everyone freaking out about KD last night. Like, KD, Kevin Durant, he's so amazing. I'm like, is there two Kevin Durant? It's the same Kevin Durant. It's 2021. You can fix an Achilles now. Yeah. Like, it's not a career-ending injury. Yes, is it a hard injury to come back from? Sure. Kevin Durant isn't 300 pounds.
That's right.
He was arguably the greatest player in the league next to LeBron when he is healthy. So he's doing what Kevin Durant does. Like, yeah. He's incredible. Why is this a shock to anyone? Like, it's kind of why his reaction in the post-game interview is that, like, this is what I do. This is what I know you guys forgot because I was injured for a while, but this is what I do. Kevin Durant has proven himself in the postseason. I'm allowed to overreact to what the Nets have done. Kyrie is a champion. Like, there's some pedigree here in the postseason with this team. I get it. They don't have a lot of defense, but when you can score like that, when you have Kevin Durant on your team, you should be able to do more than this though. If you're Giannis, you're a two-time MVP. So the Bucks are favored by four in game three on Thursday.
I'll take Brooklyn.
It's quite a bit of points when you just put up 84.
Yeah.
So the Mavericks traded for Kristaps Porzingis when he was supposed to be a second. He's supposed to pair with Luka Doncic as a star. Hasn't really panned out the way that the team has hoped. And Luka has clearly emerged as the leader of the team. And now Porzingis is reportedly frustrated with his role in the offense. And he believes he's more of an afterthought than a co-star to Luka in the organization.
Yeah, he is.
Mark Cuban has previously admitted that Doncic and Porzingis are not friends on the floor. Luka is one of the best young players in the sport right now. So it's not that you're an afterthought. Luka is just better.
Yeah, and you got to come to terms with who you are. Like Porzingis, I'd love to have Porzingis my third or fourth best player. I don't think he's a two. And what they're now, by the way, Dallas is another organization. This is interesting because Dallas historically doesn't land free agents. It makes no sense to us.
No.
But they wildly overpaid for Porzingis. Dallas is a little in that Milwaukee thing where you're like, okay, you got a contract that if you ask the GM of Milwaukee or the GM of Dallas, they'd be like, damn, that we have overspent.
But
so
what do you do in that spot? Like, there are only so many great players available.
I know.
Do you not sign him, or do you say like we're not going to offer you that contract and risk losing him? Like, what do you do?
So I think about this all the time because I would love to be a GM of like basketball or football. I never, and this is my private life, my personal life. One of the reasons I don't own a boat, I don't own anything. I lease all my fun. I never want a bad contract I owe. So I would rather stink and then get better draft picks until I get a star. I am so direct. There's nothing worse in life. I mean, it's like student debt. And you 20 years, you have a $750 payment. You come out of college. You just can't get past it.
But you can't not go to college.
I know. Well, you can. There's a lot of vocational people do very well.
Sure, yes. But I'm saying in general, most people go to school.
I would lose sleep having a big, freaking awful contract. I can't sleep at night with that. I can sleep at night if we're bad and then I get a great draft pick and I put the pressure on my scouts and me to get it. But I couldn't sign a Porzingis deal. I just couldn't do it. It would drive me.
But if you're a business person, like say, let's take Milwaukee out of it because there's a different market. Like you're Dallas. That's a very competitive market for eyeballs. It's similar to Los Angeles
Porzingis
or Atlanta. Like there's a lot going on there.
But Porzingis isn't drawing eyeballs. Luka is.
No, but Porzingis is contributing enough. You know, he averaged 20 points during the regular season. He's contributing enough that they are in the playoffs. There is, you know, some buzz around the team. They are in a long, you know, series. Like, is that valuable more to the fan than not signing
Porzingis? I guess in the NBA, I want to be awful or great. And I feel
being in the middle is the worst.
Dallas is kind of in quicksand again. They were with Dirk most of his career where they're better than average, but you're never going to get a top eight pick and get a star.
So as expected, Aaron did not show up for Packers mandatory minicamp today. He has now missed all the team's offseason program so far as tensions remain high between him and the organization. The Packers can fine Rodgers around $93,000 for missing the 3 days of minicamp, although the team can also excuse his absence and waive the fines. He gave up a $500,000 workout bonus by skipping OTAs. Under the new CBA, the team is required to fine a player $50,000 per day for missing training camp in July. So if Rodgers misses all of training camp, he would be fined a total of $2.05 million. So he has to be fined if he misses training camp.
He has an excused absence.
For training camp.
Oh, training camp.
Training camp, no.
No, that's
I'm talking about this.
Like, okay.
They can choose to fine him for mini camp. For training camp, he has to get fined.
I wouldn't fine him for this.
No, although if the Packers did it, it would be some beautiful mayhem. There's no point. There's no value to him being there. He was the MVP last year with no offseason whatsoever.
And by the way, you keep drafting developmental players. Let them practice.
This is the part where they get developed.
Doesn't Jordan Love need snaps? It's actually a
bonus for the Packers that he's not there because Jordan Love can get more snaps and more time to develop. I would not fine him. I could see the Packers doing it, as ugly as this has gotten. But this is really like, this is just the start of it. Like, no, I don't think anyone expected him to be at minicamp. If he doesn't show up for training camp, then we know that they are still very, very far apart.
Oh, okay. I just got some.
Uh-oh.
Are you done?
Yes.
Okay, Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The okay. Herd Lie News.
Okay. We have a juicy Jordan Love update.
Mm.
And I don't know what it is. I'm just reading. I'm like Ron Burgundy. I'm just reading off the teleprompter. I have no idea what this is. Juicy. That's next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe.
From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner, homie.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight on FS1, one of baseball's best young players takes center stage as Juan Soto leads the Nationals against the Rays. It all starts at 6:30 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app.
All right, this is juicy. So we tease this because of the staff. So Rob Demofsky covers the Packers, has for years. So unlike me as a mean national prominent host, it's a local guy, right? Local people generally like to see their teams, you know, flourish. So Packer guy, tweet, Jordan Love's first crack at the two-minute drill in camp that we've seen. Barely gets past midfield, ends with him skying a pass over a wide-open Malik Taylor's head on 4th and 7 from the plus 46. Here's the other thing. Why won't they let Jordan Love talk to any of the media? What is that? I'm just saying, it's. I know everybody's against the media, but the reason you like the NFL is you watch it on TV. That's called media, too. Mm-hmm. Without the media, you wouldn't have NFL games on television. Fox, CBS, NBC, that's media. Kind of need the media. They cover stuff that you want to see and watch. And this Jordan Love thing, it's turning into the Loch Ness Monster. I get occasional brief pictures. There's no sound of it. It's just eyewitness reports, briefly, little piece of video. You hide stuff when you're afraid it's going to get exposed.
But also, when you hide things, it kind of makes it more intriguing.
Oh, no question. I mean, if you had a video of Loch Ness Monster just swimming around on a tube all day in Scotland, then nobody would care. But you got like one piece of video every 8 years. So it was like, ooh, it was fascinating. The bottom line is, why are you hiding him from everybody? Like, you don't get any video of him. He doesn't talk. You hide something when you're concerned it will be exposed.
Well, this should not have been a concern for them. You don't trade up in the first round to take someone who's not going to be ready to play.
Listen, and you know Aaron has seen this guy practice. Do you think Aaron would be as profoundly defiant if this kid was Josh Allen? No. If this company hired a kid that was, you know, Bob Costas or something, I'd never miss a day of work. But if they hired some saber-toothed mouth breather, I'd take Fridays off for the rest of eternity. The bottom line is, if Aaron sees this
just
kid,
to make sure that he has to go on air and be a disaster.
That's right. I'd want him on the air. So, I mean, to me, Aaron sees this and is like, all right, go ahead. See how that feels. Let's watch him take all the snaps.
Well, also, I think, and look, like, nobody's picking on Jordan Love here. Like,
I am.
I'm not. I mean, I don't know what Jordan Love is.
Picking on him.
This is... Come on. It's in Green Bay's best interest, if Jordan Love is great, to put him out there.
Yeah, exactly. Doubling down on, so why aren't they?
I mean, why he's not talking to the media, I think, makes sense, because, of course, the media is going to ask him questions about
Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, this is like cheese hat media. This is all the bloggers and Packer guys. They're going to ask him nice questions. They won't even give him. They won't let him go on a talk show in Green Bay. Can't do anything. I got news for you. Cincinnati, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, talk to the world. Baker Mayfield, 20 commercials. Kyler Murray was on, you know, big shows. They're hiding this guy.
Well, I mean, this is why I don't have any sympathy for the Packers. You made an aggressive move.
Man.
There's consequences to that aggressive move.
This is... Now, I can just hear cheese hat guy. Oh, we're overdoing it. But we did this last week. You go back to Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow. You go back to all these guys. We took it, Deshaun Watson, Josh Allen, their first week of practice. We did this last week. And we went and dug up quotes, first week of practice. Sensational, perfect, turning heads. Oh, my gosh. This kid has 31 college starts. He's been there a year. Can't do the two-minute drill. And by the way, last week, or in OTAs, on 7 successive plays, pass plays, he checked down to the running back 6 of 7 times. I'm just saying, it's something.
In minicamp.
You know. It's something. I'm not going to pretend this is... You can't tell me it's nothing.
No,
it's
of course
something.
You can't hide talent. Like, anytime that anyone has been exceeding expectations...
By the way, remember a couple years ago, The Eli Manning was getting old. They drafted Daniel Jones. And we saw, we joked about this on the air, that the Giants leaked Daniel Jones' video because Daniel Jones had a couple of beautiful throws. And it was like
music.
It was music behind it. Yeah. Slow-mo Daniel Jones. They wanted that out there because there were a lot of people that were mad you let go of Eli.
Yeah.
So the Giants made sure, by the way, Niners, it's funny, we're getting Trey Lance video. No Loch Ness Monster in the Bay Area. You're getting Trey Lance video every time he steps on the field. Something's going on here. This is where journalism takes over. Hour three, next.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.